And welcome to another fun-filled episode of that F1K podcast. Ari Rosenbaum here with Dan Venturi. Dan, how are you?
I am great, sir. Finally recovered from that horrible sinus infection. I'm great. Looking forward to the holidays, getting some stuff wrapped up. Feeling good, bud. How about you?
Well, I'm recovering from a cold. I didn't get it from you. I think I got it from my son. Plugging away. The end of the year is always interesting because I always find it, at least on my end, it's always the busiest business-wise. People with problems and issues and all that kind of stuff. And last night I saw Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, which was really good. I think Star Wars fans are like religious fanatics in the sense that they're just very opinionated. And, I find Star Wars fans interesting. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan too, but I'm one of those who... I don't know. It's just, I saw the first movie when I was 5. The second movie came out when I was 8 and when I was 11. And, they were good movies. They weren't like, it wasn't like a masterpiece like Godfather. And I think that people's criticisms of the later movies are the fact is that, having such great expectations and not, in these movies failing to meet those expectations. I went in last night thinking, okay, it's going to be a good movie. It's going to try to solve all the questions that I have. And, it kind of did. And I think that, people, when they look at the first three movies, it's not really about the first three movies. It's about their childhood and the ideas that they had. And, when you're young, you, I wouldn't say idealize it. I think that you make it because it's all about the fact that you were younger. You make things out to be bigger than they were because you were younger. I always tell the story with my aunt and she grew up in the 1950s Israel. And she talks about it, how great it was and beautiful it was and all that stuff. And the fact of the matter is in the 1950s in Israel, it was very austere. They didn't have ration coupons. It wasn't like Israel is today, which is like an economic superpower. And, it's because she remembers when she was younger. And I think that Star Wars movies, a lot of the fans are just, very opinionated and nothing can touch the first three. Well, nothing could ever touch the first three. There's a reason why sequels are never as good as the first movie is because, the first movie's in and, you have that idea in your head and nothing can ever come close to it. That's why, when we think of great movie sequels, we think of Terminator 2 and maybe Godfather Part 2. And I think that's debatable of being...
What about Rocky 2?
I think Rocky 2 is better than Rocky 1, but, I'm in the minority. Rocky 2 is my favorite Rocky movie. And, everybody says Rocky 3, but I would say Rocky 2 is better than Rocky 3.
I think Rocky 1 and 2 are almost part of the same story.
Well, it's continuation, the 2 comes right after 1.
I think I'm going Tuesday with the kids to see the Star Wars movie, but to your point, it's complicated, bud, because there's sort of the new school fans that I think have these unrealistic expectations. It's not, they're not going to get an Oscar, but you're going to sit there for 2.5 hours and you're going to be entertained.
It's a great payoff to 42 years of memories and 42 years of movies. And, if I had a choice, I probably wouldn't have made the last three movies. I think it perfectly ended with Return of the Jedi and, anything else after that tinkers with that story. You kill off Han Solo, Carrie Fisher obviously dies and, Luke dies and becomes one with the Force in the last movie. So, it's a hard thing to take, I guess, but, the story moves on. You know, it's listen, how many movies and sagas last this long that my kids can watch? And I took them to the movies last night, and they enjoyed it. So, you know, it is what it is. And let's not try to make it, you know, it's not like a piece of art where you're putting a mustache on Mona Lisa. The movies weren't Mona Lisa. The movies were excellent entertainment. The new movies were excellent entertainment. I even liked the prequels. Yeah, it wasn't as good as, you know, as the first three, but it was good quality entertainment. You know, Godfather Part III was never going to be as good as 1 and 2, no matter what we would have wanted. That's life. And, you know, let's move past it. There are more important things to worry about, you know?
I hear you. And to your point, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but we talked about it. I watched the last of the prequels. What was it? The Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Again, over the weekend. And that's an extraordinary movie. Right, and that's Lucas's direction, and it's true to the formula, and you know you've got some incredible visuals, the Senate and Yoda flying through the air. I don't know, some good stuff. Some good stuff.
Yeah, the Revenge of the Sith is probably the best out of the three. I mean, I think the duel between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, which had been talked about for, at that point, for 28 years, and it kind of paid off, and, you know, Anakin, I have the higher grounds. I mean, that's entertainment. I mean, that's entertainment, and, you know, it explains certain things. I liked it. I mean, listen, we can't all be like Rogue One. In terms of how perfect that movie was, and we don't, you know, people, when they talk about the saga, they don't talk about Rogue One because it's not part of the saga. But to me, that is was an excellent movie. But you know, people are just you know, when it comes to their, you know, when it comes to it, you can't satisfy everybody, and that's a fan base that I think that you know, it's hard. But like I said, it was very entertaining, and I can't wait to see what's next after that saga's over.
Well, I'll next podcast we can talk about it.
Absolutely. That 401k conference, our next one is the national event in Walt Disney World. Go to that 401ksite.com, March 10th to 11th, 2020. You know, people are signing up, getting more and more sponsors. It's going to be a fun event, 2 days in Orlando. And, after that, we got Houston, St. Louis, Minneapolis. Go to that 401ksite.com for further information. And, of course, I haven't talked to you on the podcast since the Dallas event.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a lot of
Dallas
fun.
Dallas was a great event, man. You guys missed – if we didn't see you down there, you missed out. It was a great time. I mean, I was in extraordinary pain because I had a unbeknownst to me an ear infection.
Yeah.
And got on a plane back to back days, and that kind of sucked. And then a shout out to the fine folks at Delta who took an hour and a half to find my luggage on a rainy Friday night when I got back home.
So that was awesome. Yeah. Well, I was in the delay for like another 90 minutes, and you know, getting into LaGuardia, and it was like pouring, and you know, I ended up at the LaGuardia. They have two terminals for Delta, so I didn't get it at my terminal where the parking garage is. I had to walk. It was just a mess, but you know,
yeah,
get home, yeah, one so thanks, piece thanks you know,
thanks to the fine folks at Delta. But you know, what was real unique about Dallas and what we subsequently learned on the tour, it's one of, I think it's really the only venue that allows folks on the field, right? I mean, we have pictures on the star with Everson Walls. That's pretty cool. You know, they were letting folks run 40s. I was on the field a little before the tour, and I summed up about 30 seconds of energy and was able to, you know, pretend like I took one in from the 5. So that was kind of cool. You know, we got to see the locker rooms. We were in the Cowboy Cheerleaders locker room, which is pretty cool. The tour guide who referred to himself as the Great White Albino or something.
Cabana Boy.
He was fun as well. So, you know, the facility was beautiful. The weather was nice. All in all, it was a really great day. And, you know, we had the added bonus of visiting one of Ari's favorite places. So we got that off the bucket list. We went to the South Fork Ranch. So all in all, just a great conference, and looking forward to Orlando, which is probably 10, 11 weeks out, something like that now, right, bud?
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
So,
but yeah,
looking forward to what's next.
And of course, Everson was a great guest. He went with us on the tour, which I thought was really funny. My favorite, things with Everson was when somebody asked if he should be in the Ring of Honor, he was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And then he was upset with his placements of his photo in the locker room, which I thought was hilarious. So yes. It was a really fun event, and a great way for an advisor to take 3-4 hours out of the day, learn something new, and then have some memories that'll last a lifetime. I just got the photo from the stadium with us at the star of all the people there, and I gotta email it to everybody. That was a lot of fun, and when we do these events, when we do Houston, Minneapolis, St. Louis, they're just really great, fun events, and it's really entertaining, and like I said, it's just it's a great event just for $100. So go to that foreignksite.com for further information. Obviously, this event's a couple more bucks, but you got the opportunity to buy discount Disney passes, discount hotel room over there at the Walt Disney World Swan, and it's going to be a really great event. So anyway, after all this, our topic for today.
Real quick, just special shout out to the advisor who sat next to me in Dallas and gave me the sinus medicine that gave me a couple of hours of welcomed relief. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you were all out of sorts. There's nothing worse than the travel and when you're sick. So yeah, absolutely. But our topic for this week is going to be the Secure Act. So as we talk here on December 20th, it's presumed that President Trump will be signing the bill into law. The Secure Act was stalled in the Senate, passed the House, and then it was attached to a spending bill. And obviously, for the government to continue running, Trump has to sign legislation. The Secure Act was attached to it. So for us folks in the retirement plan community, this is an added bonus. And, everybody was talking about the Secure Act for the longest time, dealing with MEPs. And quite honestly, the open MEP idea, that's only one small part of the Secure Act. And quite honestly, I think that is going to have one of the least effect amounts on the retirement plan business, just in the nature of the marketing of MEPs and just based on the assets that go in MEPs. I think there are a lot of other provisions here that will have a greater effect on the retirement plan business.
Yeah, there is a lot to the Act. Not necessarily to your point specific to the MEP, but there are several things that, we still need to digest.
Yeah, I mean, here the MEP changes, basically the pooled employer plans. It starts out in 2021 once it's signed into law. It'll allow two or more unrelated employers to join a pooled employer plan. The one bad apple rule is gone. The designated pooled plan provider must be named fiduciary, has to be responsible as the 316 administrator, and is going to have to register with DOL-IRS and have a bond limit of $1 million. It's obviously regulations are going to have to come into play to further increase, the definitions and whatnot that we see here. But, this effectively brings back the MEP. The open MEPs that were curtailed thanks to the 2012 advisory opinion by the DOL, and further expands on, the Department of Labor put out regulations that really still required commonality, so this eliminates it altogether. And the one bad apple rule, which is what single employer plan providers use as some sort of boogeyman to scare people off of joining a MEP, that's going to be eliminated as well. So, it's a tremendous thing for us. We waited patiently for this for the last 7.5 years, and finally it looks like the light is at the end of the tunnel when it comes to open MEPs, and hopefully that will allow the business and industry to continue and allow participants to have greater access to retirement plans and whatnot, and we'll see what happens. But when you look at some of the other provisions in the SECURE Act, I think it's a bigger deal. For example, the increase in the cap for the automatic enrollment safe harbor went from 10% to 15% for 2020. The safe harbor rules are changing. The 3% non-elective, you won't need a notice anymore. And it will allow plan sponsors to switch to a non-elective safe harbor 401k plan at any time before the 30th day before the close of the plan year. And amendments after that time would be allowed as long as the employer would give a 4% contribution. So that is the opportunity for plans to become safe harbor after they know that they failed the testing. So I think that's huge.
Oh, that is huge. I didn't realize that. You can do it after you fail the testing.
Right. As long as you give 4% and the plan is amended no later than the last day for distributing excess contributions. So you got to get it in by 3/15, really.
Yeah.
In my opinion, distributing excess, well, yeah. But I think that's huge. I think any way that we can increase safe harbor contributions and the safe harbor plan design is a great thing. I'm glad they got rid of the notice requirement for the 3%. I think that was too much of a headache. It's a great opportunity. Other changes, they increase the tax credit for small employers starting up a retirement plan, which is always great. Other aspects, for IRA purposes, taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments will now be treated as compensation, as basically as earned income. So young people who get stipends and all that will be able to put in a Roth contribution for those amounts. RMDs, the age for taking it out, have been increased from 70.5 to 72, and that also means that they're also going to eliminate the prohibition on contributions to a traditional IRA for those older than 70.5, which is big. A small change where they close down the door on something, which I really never saw transpire, but you can't make qualified plan loans are prohibited from using credit cards and similar arrangements. So if you take out a plan loan, you can't get paid out in a debit card or a credit card. I guess there were plan providers that were doing that, but they can't. I think that's a good thing. Now there will be some provisions allowing for annuities back into 401k plans. Which I'm not a big fan of, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, is that going to bring back the whole joint survivor thing and the additional signatures and all that?
Well, now it's going to allow for some annuity options. We'll see how they flesh it out. I'm not a big fan of it. The insurance companies like it, and if the insurance companies like it, I'm not a big fan of it. So, But I think the biggest change that I see here is the requiring 401k plans to allow long-term part-time employees to participate. So you can't use 1,000 hours anymore. If you have plan participants who make 3 consecutive years of service where they complete more than 500 hours of service, you're going to have to include them into the plan.
Well, so then what does that mean? Is that eliminating – so we're basically eliminating the 1,000 hours as a – as a way of crediting service.
If you have long-term part-time employees who get, 500 hours of service in 3 consecutive years, they'd be eligible to defer. You could exclude them out of the profit-sharing piece, and, for testing purposes, they're excluded for the 21-1. This is one of the provisions that they are going to wait until 2021 to add some guidance and, give us some lead time in order to fix this, because a lot of the provisions, especially eliminating the stretch IRA and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be in effect in 2020, which is, by the time you hear this, it'll be like 4 or 5 days away. There's also now a new waiver from the early distribution penalties to for distributions that are used for childbirth or adoption expenses up to $5,000. You won't have the early retirement distribution penalty come into play.
That's good. That's intelligent.
Exactly. And most importantly, like I said, you know, the early allowing the part-timers in is a big deal. The RMDs were increased, like I said, from 72 to 70.5. From 70.5 to 72. And another big deal, which I don't think people, to me it's a big deal, is dealing with timing of amendments. Adoptions of plans. So in the good old days, which includes today, if you didn't have a plan document signed by December 31st, it couldn't be effective for the first day of the plan year. So, a big part of the business when I was working for TPA was having those documents in place and signed by 12/31. Now you'll get until the due date of your for the taxable year. So it gives flexibility to employers that are considering adopting a plan by allowing them to put the plan in place, signing it after the tax year has ended.
When does that come into place?
That's going to be in 2020.
That's effective
1/1. So let's say, for example, on December 31st, you're hemming and hawing whether you want to put a DB plan or not. Theoretically, by the tax date, you figure out your financial status, and then you could actually go back in time, sign a document today, and be effective for last year, which was a big no-no for us for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, we don't backdate documents. We're not big fans of backdating documents, and so therefore, that's a huge change. So that mad rush, our friends at Kravitz always have that mad rush towards the end of the year. Any good TPA that does a lot of DB plans and balance forward plans, there was always that 12/31 rush. Well, now there doesn't have to be a 12/31 rush. You could put plans in place before the tax returns are due and have it effective for that taxable year.
It'll be a 315 rush.
Or 415 if they're a partnership LLC. So, it's a lot of fun.
Just add some more complexity.
Well, that's the beauty of this business. Once you think you have all the answers, we just change the questions. Nice Rowdy Roddy Piper reference. The MEPs are, obviously we're involved with MEPs. It's a big deal that pooled employer plans are going to be allowed. But the fact of the matter is that on paper MEPs look great, but interest isn't as strong as we would think it is. And so I think that some of these other provisions are going to have a greater effect for us in the many years to come.
Yeah, I'm glad that the government finally did something, right? Like, there was actually legislation. they did what they're supposed to be doing. And it was long needed, right? I mean, to your point, was it 7 years, 7.5 years, that we were sort of wandering in a desert waiting for direction. And thankfully we finally got it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just interesting that, that was one thing the Department of Labor punted on, which was, they didn't want to, allow for open MEPs. They really have been consistent in the last 7.5 years, and it took an act of Congress to change that. Just like on the flip side, Congress didn't want to implement fee disclosure regulations for one reason or another, mainly opposition from Wall Street, and Wall Street's very good in funding PACs and candidate contributions and all that kind of stuff. So it took the Department of Labor their role in implementing the regulations. So it's so funny how, when it comes to retirement plans, the Congress and the DOL are checks and balances on each other.
Yeah, well, probably not the way they drew it up, but it's not a bad thing.
Exactly. So that's about it for this episode of that 401k podcast. We'll certainly talk more about the Secure Act as, obviously when Trump signs it, which, even by the time we're talking, he might have signed it already. But we'll talk more about that and obviously all the different changes that are going on and obviously more about multiple employer plans.
We will. We will. So by the time this drops, it'll be we'll be well into Hanukkah, right? And Christmas will be over and we'll be you know, freight training it towards New Year's. So let's take the time to, you know, thank everyone for listening. You know, hopefully there'll be more great stuff from us coming in the new year. Have a great holiday season, guys. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yep. Until next time, take care and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and all that other stuff.
Don't forget Festivus.
Yeah, Festivus for the rest of us. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, good stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, bud. I'll see you Monday.
Yeah. Absolutely. Got to get them to sponsor.
Yeah, well, let's... yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to talking to these guys to see what, you know, they're thinking about long term. Because I just don't think the whole subscription plan-wide thing is a good way to do it.
Exactly.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy the weekend, bud.
Okay.
See ya.